Today on the ProLife Podcast, four former Disney Channel stars are all pregnant at the same time. Bailey is super excited and she needs to talk about it. Let's get started. Happy Thursday, ProLife family. Welcome to the table. Grab your coffee because we always need more. I need more of that. Maybe y'all don't. You don't bring coffee.
No. I don't like coffee, but I feel like I need it. It just tastes bad.
You'll get there, man. It becomes a stage of adulthood where it's just a necessary thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I am rambling. We have things to talk about. So friends, if for the people listening on their podcast in their cars, maybe because you can't be watching this and driving, do not watch this and drive.
Please. That's not pro-life.
Please. It is not. So you don't have that, you know, mismatch, if you would introduce yourselves.
Kim Schwartz, Director of Media and Communication.
Bailey Barton, Director of Development Operations.
Frank Klingerman, IT Director. And front man of the show? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm the only man in the show right now. So, Dr. Siegel, I miss you, buddy.
Yeah. He'll be back soon.
He will be back soon. We want to talk about Supreme Court real quick.
Yeah.
And then Disney stuff, and it's not bad this time.
Yeah.
I feel like that's odd. I get to talk about Disney in a good light.
A good Disney story.
I miss that. I haven't felt that in so long. I like that feeling. 90s me is very happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, EMTALA.
Right.
Which it sounds like. If you ask your doctor if EMTALA is right for you, you're interested in buying EMTALA.
Right.
Would you like to sell EMTALA? Like, it's either a pyramid scheme, a medication, but no, it's...
Actually, okay, so EMTALA is a federal law, which probably didn't guess that.
It's really where it didn't think that was going in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. So EMTALA, it's a federal law from the Ronald Reagan administration. So this is decades old already. And the Biden administration is using that law to say that he's going to force emergency rooms to commit abortions even when the mother's life is not at stake. And to do that, he says he's going to withhold Medicaid and Medicare funds from these hospitals unless they commit abortions, even if the mother's life is not in danger. So bad news already there. Any questions so far?
We good? I mean, so the Biden administration wants to force ERs to perform abortions, whether it's legal in their state or not, whether not life of the mother situations.
Yeah. And that's like the big stake here, actually, because he's putting doctors in a like impossible position where it's like, okay, we're either going to lose our Medicaid funds. And if you ask a hospital if that's a good idea, they're going to say,
yeah, they're going to say no.
Yeah. Or if they commit an abortion when the mother's life is not in danger, then they can lose their license under state law. So he's the one putting them in this like impossible tug of war. The media is not going to spin it like that. They're going to say, like, look at the pro-life states. They're so evil. And the other thing with that is they're trying to make this sound like this is only life of the mother situations. But every single state law, every single pro-life state law already has an exception for to save the life of the mother. And so you already have state law that says, okay, if you are presented with an emergency situation, you can act to save the mother's life. So that's already there. But the Biden administration made this like intentionally vague language that they're masking it under the life of the mother situation. But they just said hospitals have to perform an abortion when it is the necessary stabilizing treatment. And that's pretty vague. So that's how the Biden administration is putting this tug of war. The Supreme Court is hearing that case this week. It's over Idaho against the Biden administration. And any other thoughts?
Well, this is all just a word game. I mean, when we're talking about abortion, are we talking about induction, early induction, trying to save the baby, trying to save the mother, treating them like both of them are patients? Or are we talking about tearing the child limb from limb, making sure they're dead before they come out? I'm sorry to be crude, I'm sorry to be crass, but
nope,
like
that's
the difference. And we're pretending like it's super hard to figure out, and it's not. It's not. And the law says, you know, in the case of mother's life, whatever, I can't remember the exact words, but like even that is not stating in the case of a mother's life, yeah, go ahead and perform what is the procedure
like,
called?
A DNA or it depends on the stage, but like basically the procedure is tearing the child apart. Or even in some stages, they'll inject a poison into the child's heart before the child's delivered.
Yeah. And so even though the law says that, most women who are about to have their babies, who are in their third trimester, who are in an emergency situation that want to have this child, are not going to go in and get that procedure. They're going to be induced.
Yeah.
Yep.
And even from a like medical perspective, like that's the more practical thing to do, because an abortion is going to take a lot of time. And if you're in an emergency, you know what you don't have? Time. So, you're in that situation. But like what you're saying, there's this like discrepancy that comes from this conversation between like medical professionals and legal scholars and the media and like regular people just having these conversations, is that they'll all use the word abortion, but they're all meaning different things. So if you go into a hospital, for example, and let's say you're having a miscarriage the child has already died. But whenever you get the bill, it'll come back and it'll say like, oh, we had an abortion, like you had an abortion. And so that's where some of this confusion comes in, because they're like, oh, well, you're trying to outlaw that. That's abortion. But we have to distinguish what these procedures are. What is the moral intent? What is the actual like moral practice that you're doing? What's the legal definition? And so whenever we're talking about abortion and like legally talking about abortion too, like we mean killing the child, intentionally killing the child, versus like where it could even be a foreseen effect, like with an induction, and you go into the hospital for like an emergency and they're just like, we just need to get the baby out. And they're gonna call that an abortion on your bill, even though it's like, well, we had an induction. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the same thing. That's not morally the same thing. Like, you didn't cause the child's death, like, on purpose. You were trying to save the mother. And the, like, foreseen but unfortunate, like, effect was that this child may have died because he was super premature. But that was not your intent. Your intent was just separate mom and baby and try to save both. But the reality is that sometimes you can't do that. You can't save both. But that is different than causing the death of one, especially electively. Like, and that's what the Biden administration is doing, is just to like open the door for elective abortions where the mother is more about like convenience instead of like emergency situations.
It's intellectually so dishonest. It makes me so frustrated, because what, you know, a typical normal OBGYN, what they are doing is delivering babies. Yes. And a good one is going to treat your baby like a patient as well as you. And abortionists are trained to do something totally different. They are trained to make sure that baby does not come out alive. We have to realize that. And again, it's a word game, because induction is falling under abortion, and we're not against early induction if it's necessary.
Yeah.
Of course, do it. I know so many women who have gone through that, some that miraculously the baby survives and some that it's tragic and it doesn't. And we just have to be real with what we're saying and intellectually honest about the procedures.
Yeah. So my middle child was induced a couple weeks early. My wife's blood pressure was a little high, and the doctor was like, hey, I think this is the thing we need to do here. Like, your blood pressure's been high, and it's been high for a little bit. This is not going to be good. Let's go ahead and induce. So technically, I guess she was aborted, which sounds absolutely insane.
Yes.
I feel like there is a clearer way to say things than to medically billing categories of, well, let's just put everything in this category.
Yeah.
And so if anyone is trying to make you feel bad about the whole, in the case of the life of a mother and like the abortion word antics, like just remind the person you're talking to what you're for. You are for life. You are for this baby having a chance.
You know what else really grinds my gears on this subject?
What?
Okay. So the media is really the ones at fault here, okay? But then their semantics and confusion is being passed on to the doctors. And the doctors are like actually changing their protocols and everything and refusing to treat women who are in emergency situations because they're like, we can't do abortions. That's what, like, our billing says that this is an abortion and this is an abortion. And so they're just like, we can't do abortions. And they pretend like this is a new thing. We've had this definition of the life of the mother for 10 years, over 10 years now. So they've been operating under, like, and known what to do, and they've been doing it for 10 years of, if a mom comes in with, like, emergency situation and we need to do an induction or we need to, you know, treat her for a miscarriage, they've been doing that for 10 years with this exact same definition.
This is literally the Patrick from SpongeBob game of, like, before Dobbs, Patrick with a microscope and a lab coat and science.
Yes.
And after Dobbs, Patrick with a board nailed to his head.
It's true.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
If you know anybody who's gone in for an early induction, an emergency case, I've never heard this in my life. Oh, yeah, we went in for an abortion and now everything's fine.
No one
and
the says baby's it like living. That.
No one says it like that. Like, yeah. That's not, nobody says it like that.
Yeah. And I want to give credit to the doctors because I think the majority of doctors, like, they know what they're doing, they know what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it. But there's just that vocal minority that's just like, we can't do anything. I'm not going to do anything. And then they go and complain to the media, and then they cause this, like, hysteria and everything like that, and it just becomes, like, snowballs and becomes worse and worse.
You know, I can't remember what the acronym was. Teachers have a lot of acronyms. My wife's a teacher. I have a lot of acronyms. I'm an IT guy, right? And I can't remember what one it was, but both of us have the same one, and they do not mean the same thing, right? And my wife is telling me about some, and she uses the acronym that she's teaching the kids, and I'm like, why are you teaching them about Cisco routers? She's like, no, it's like, she works in special education and dyslexia mostly. And I'm like, oh, same letters, very, very different, different things here. Now we're on the same page. I follow. And it's kind of like this, well, we've decided abortion. As a doctor, well, I have a different acronym here.
Right.
And you're using this one. And we're just going to, I'm just going to continue to remain intentionally not go, hang on, do we mean this or this?
Yes.
Like we're intentionally going, I guess Cisco routers and special education are a thing now. And that's just what we do. And it doesn't make sense to me. But again, you are very small.
Birds. Yeah, and I think honestly, this is just a good reminder that, and this is just my hot take for the day. No matter what the doctor you have or whatever purpose, dermatologist, just like general practitioner, y'all need to have doctors that are pro-life. Because if you have a doctor who's all confused about this, that is like, I don't know if I should do harm. like just have pro-life doctors. I don't know how you figure it out. You just do, and those are going to be the best doctors because they're sane.
Yeah, fair. Good advice.
I literally had that conversation at a campfire last weekend.
Oh,
like,
nice.
And the guys are like, well, there was a gentleman, it's an annual camp out, and there's a gentleman who received a lifetime achievement award and for the group that we were with, and he had a heart attack, ended up in a coma for a few days, and the doctors are like telling his wife, well, maybe you ought to think about pulling the plug here. And the next day he wakes up and he's been fine. He's gone back to normal life. And I'm going to see if maybe we can get him on the show. So I'm not going to tell the whole story, right?
Yeah.
But the guys sitting around afterwards were like, it reminds me of what you guys are doing. Like, that's where the culture is gone. And even this friend, like, he's had a situation recently with family where the doctor's going, well, you know, she's getting older and maybe you ought to just consider. And he's like, hold on now. Like, these are human lives, family members, valuable people.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And I'm like, yeah, that's the culture is very utilitarian and we've got to fix that. And so those of us who are going to stand up and say something, I mean, needs to be more of us. But you know, they were reiterating that they appreciate what we do here, and I'm like, well, thanks, but it's your part too. Like, yeah. We've all got to take a little bit of a stand when somebody says, well, you know, maybe they're over 65 and, you know, health complications. You should just consider. No, we'll let God do that considering, mm-hmm. and we're going to do our best here with what we have. Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay, soapbox time.
Love it.
Pro-life doctors.
Yeah. Pro-life mm-hmm. doctors, man. You got to find them.
Yep.
We need you guys.
Mm-hmm. We need a pro-life culture, too.
Yes. Okay. Well, then, let's transition to our other topic, pro-life culture. Pop culture is seemingly getting a little
guys. Bailey's really psyched about this.
I kind of am, too.
Yay.
I'm less into these particular celebrities mm-hmm. just because age and timing. Right. But
mm-hmm. it's fine.
We're going to talk about these celebrities after a break, and then we'll talk about Bailey's favorite current topic.
Great news. Texas Right to Life is celebrating our 50th birthday this year. This is half a century of victories that the Lord has given us. But God is not done yet. The battle for life is only increasing as the abortion industry is going underground to promote death and sell abortion. Join us in supporting Texas Right to Life's 50th birthday campaign and chip in with a gift today. Thank you for 50 years of saving lives. And friend, the best is yet to come.
Get your tickets today for the Convention for Life. This is like my favorite convention all year. June 22nd in Houston at Grace Church in the Woodlands. We're going to level up that pro-life knowledge, and you are going to be a pro-life expert. We're going to hear from an amazing lineup of speakers to help you defend your beliefs, including author Danielle D'Souza Gill. If that D'Souza name sounds a little familiar, yeah, Dinesh's daughter. It's going to be an amazing time. We are going to celebrate the anniversary of the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and we're going to look forward and talk about some of the issues facing our movement. Get your tickets at conventionforlife.com. All the details and links below, conventionforlife.com. We'll see you in June. Okay, welcome back, friends. Pop culture is a favorite topic for some people around here. I like pop culture.
This will delight the hearts of all lower millennials, upper Gen Z. Like, these are some of our favorite Disney Channel stars.
These are Disney Channel people, so I'm not super... I know who they are.
Yes.
My daughters would know who they are.
Yeah. Maybe. So I'm, like, hardly Gen Z. I'm, like, right at, like, the cusp of Gen Z and millennial. I kind of feel like I'm a zillennial mm-hmm. because I have an older brother. Mm-hmm. So I feel like...
It rounds up.
But anyways... Mm-hmm. First, let's just start with right now for Zoomers, Gen Z, and millennials. I feel like the story of our generation is like no one's getting married, no one's having kids. But there's starting to be like a little bit of turn of the tide a little bit because I think a lot of us are actually like craving tradition and craving like an older time. And we're seeing this with this Disney trend, which... I know. Sounds crazy.
I did not expect that sentence
nope.
to come out in one of our podcasts.
Yes. So if you are in my age group and Kim's age group, you'll remember Ashley Tisdale from Still Have Zack and Cody and High School Musical, Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical, Hilary Duff from Lizzie McGuire, and just Hilary Duff is just Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Exactly.
And Ally Mashaka, who was...
Ally and AJ.
Yeah.
I don't know her at all.
Yeah. Okay. She's a singer, an actress. She was in Phil of the Future. That's mm-hmm. Millennials, I feel like, know Phil of the Future. I don't know if Gen Z knows Phil of the Future.
Right,
but
anyways,
all four of the women I just listed are married and having children and they're all pregnant at the same time.
Isn't this a gift from God, all you millennials and Gen Z?
I think we need that kind of influence on culture right now.
Yeah. We do. I mean, I feel like every time I talk to somebody in like an older generation or like grandparents, they're so worried about all of us and they're worried about nobody having kids and nobody getting married. And I hear so many sad stories about like my grandkids like deciding not to have kids.
Yeah.
Like they're married and they just don't want to have kids. And it's just, it's hopeful to see these women who grew up in Hollywood, the place where having kids is like, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Yeah.
Yes, we had an award shows and are so thankful that we could have our abortions for our careers.
Or they get a surrogate and it's like, okay, I'm having a baby. There you go, off over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all like,
so they're weird.
All naturally pregnant.
Yeah.
They're not doing the crazy things.
Who was it was talking about potentially a home birth?
Yeah, Hillary Duff has done home birth. Maybe one home birth, maybe two. I'm not really sure. I don't know her personally.
Let me call her up real quick.
That's some pro-level mom stuff right there.
Dang.
But I just think it's so cool. And, like, you go through their Instagrams and their pictures, and they're all glowing, and they look so happy. And in contrast with all the women in Hollywood who are, like, so, you know, vocal about their abortion, and they look so sad and decrepit and just not thriving. But you see these women, and they look so glowy, and they're excited for the future. And I think one of them, it was Ashley Tisdale, she said when they had their first baby, they originally were just only going to have one. But then they saw the way that she interacted with other kids, and they're like, we have to give her a sibling. And no matter how hard pregnancy is, she's like, I'm going to go through it again because we want to have more.
That's awesome.
And it's like, yay.
That's awesome. And the surprise one in this list too, Lindsay Lohan is pregnant too. Did we? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. She's not a part. I don't think she's technically a part of that group because, like, she's a little older.
Yeah, yeah.
Slash, she wasn't ever on Disney.
But well, she was
nope,
in...
No, she was in some Disney movies.
Disney movies, right.
Old guy knows the Disney movies.
She was in Parent Trap.
Yes, Parent Trap was Disney. I forgot that was
Disney. Parent Trap was Disney.
But not Disney Channel, so that's where
we're... Mean Girls was not Disney. I think it is now, weirdly. Thanks, Disney, for buying every other company.
That's true. Eventually, everything will be Disney, so we'll all be Disney Channel stars, I guess. Anyways, yeah. Disney Channel, though, and Disney Star, a little bit different. But even, like, talking about this attitude about... having children, like, in our culture, but even in Hollywood, that there's this idea of, like, well, if it's going to be hard, it's not worth it. Or, like, if I have, like, a messed up background, it's not worth it. Lindsay Lohan has had a rough go at it. And I think we've all seen her kind of, like, you know, break down and how the system, like, chews these kids up and then spits them out. And then they're, like, very broken adults. And, like, you were talking about, she's kind of getting her life back together and everything like that. Yeah. So that's just, like, really beautiful. And I think is a testament to, like, even if it's like, wow, I've had, you know, a really messed up life before, it's like, you can still find beauty and pursue a meaningful life, and have, like, a rich and beautiful family. Even if, like, you're in a rough, you have a rough go at it, like Lindsay Lohan did.
Yeah. For sure. It's so sweet and inspiring to see all of these women who are, you know, in that world, just, they're so proud to be a mom. And I think especially just growing up, like, watching them on the screen and then seeing that, like, and I've talked to other girls about this, and we're all just so happy for them. It's like, it's just so fun. It's so fun to see them grow up and become moms. And I don't know, there's so many stories that are completely opposite that are not inspiring. And, you know, they, of course, they have this, like, ongoing career, but then they get to the end of it and they have no family.
Right.
And it's just, it's cool to see. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about earlier how there's this, like, rise. You saw on the news about it.
So, yeah, we were talking earlier, prepping for this. I saw on the news the other day that there is a rise in, like, Gen Z millennial culture to go ahead and have, like, have your tubes tied, get a vasectomy, because, well, I can't, my abortion access is getting harder to get. It's, you know, it's illegal now, so we're just gonna never have children.
Yeah.
I like my hookup culture. What?
Yeah.
No, stop that.
Right. And, like, more about the, like, mentality that gets you there rather than, like, the actual, like, practicality and the effect is just this idea of, like, children are a burden. I need to live my life for myself, do whatever I want to do, have everything right in my perfect control, and I'll be happy. And it's so, like, I can see how you would think that that would work, but all of human history and just, like, our own nature will show you, like, that's not how you have a fulfilling life. Like, there's a grace in responsibility, there's a grace in, you know, reaching out and serving others. And if you try to find fulfillment in yourself, you're not going to find it.
You know, especially having been camping recently with the boys, I always tell them, like, if everything goes according to plan, that's kind of boring. It's when stuff that you can't control and did not expect happens, then it's an adventure, guys. Mm-hmm. And we kind of knew the weather was going to go sideways. And so, but they were like, they got up this morning and like, okay, well, it was rough last night, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they had an adventure. And it's really the attitude you go into it with, you know, you can just embrace that there's going to be a challenge. Parenthood is a challenge, but it's real awesome. Mm-hmm. So Mount Everest is a challenge, but we climb it because when you get to the top, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't not ever start the journey because, well, it might get hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how epic tales of heroic acts start. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that sounds hard.
Right.
Maybe Gandalf, I'm out. No.
Yeah.
Just... there's a challenge. Okay, just take another step.
Yeah.
Take the next step the next day.
You want lore. You want a lore.
Yes.
I heard a really beautiful quote the other day. I'm not going to be able to say it like word for word, but it was a woman just talking about the beauty of the sacrificial love that comes with motherhood and how you like your body goes through it to do this. And like there's like a story written on your body. That if no one ever knew you and they were like examining you, like, you know, after you die or something, like they would know like this woman had children and like she has a legacy. Uh-huh. And there's something awesome. So beautiful about that, that like, yes, like it was, having a legacy is not easy.
Yeah.
And there's going to be scars and there's going to be hurt, but there's also going to be beauty and there's going to be this sacrificial love that is so unique to being a parent. So I think that it's a more healthy way of looking at it than like, it's going to be hard.
Right, right.
Let's avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. No, do the hard thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good job, Disney Channel stars.
I know. We're so proud of you.
We don't usually get to say that.
Right, right. They're not current Disney Channel stars. True. Is why. Like, there's definitely a different attitude and culture among the fresh Disney stars.
Well, like, eventually the fresh Disney stars will grow up.
Yeah. We hope. So.
Boy, we pray for them that they will grow up.
Mm. Yeah. So all that said, keep an eye out, especially for the Supreme Court case that was heard yesterday, Wednesday. But we're going to do some more analysis about like what were the arguments said and where we're going with that. And then just, you know, keeping our eyes on the culture and, you know, using these topics to start conversations. Like, you know, how easy is it to say like, hey, you remember Sweet Life of Zach and Cody? Ashley Tisdale's having a baby and all these other people. Like, it's easier to have those conversations whenever you, and like talk about your values whenever you've got something cool and fun, like four Disney Channel stars having babies at the same time.
I'm a little old, so I think I'd have to open with, hey, Lindsay Lohan's pregnant again, and she's actually got her life together now.
Yes.
Cool.
There you go. See, yeah, whichever one works.
Yeah, whichever age demographic you fall in.
Right, right. Phineas and Ferb for our younger audience, okay? They probably don't know so much of the Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely a gap there.
Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb, which one of them was?
I know, I was going to say, there's so many people are probably listening.
Ashley Tisdale was Candace in Phineas and Ferb.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, you should be a pop culture expert.
I know the Innators guy.
Ah, Doofenshmirtz.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
So. Anyways, random Disney characters and voice actors. Mm-hmm. I'm not a voice actor, but I play one on TV. My train of thought has just absolutely derailed.
Man.
Yep.
We need a like and subscribe in Ator. I'll let myself out.
And don't forget to donate to Texas Right to Life. Mm-hmm. We are fighting every day on the front lines and college campuses, on the front of legislation, and we're trying to protect Texas and make Texas more pro-life. And we need your help. So please go to our website and donate whatever you can.
Amen.
We appreciate that very, very much. Like, share. We appreciate your prayers too, honestly, very honestly. If you saw some of the salty comments on the last video, apparently we poked a nerve. And yeah, we got a lot of work to do in our culture. Pray for our culture. Pray for those people. Thanks. Like, share, subscribe. Have conversations with your friends and neighbors. Tell them about the Disney people who actually are living normal lives now. It's a fun story and I'm happy about it. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.